Back to the Midday Grind with Martin and Marlo on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Back with you on 590 The Fan. It is the Midday Grind here. Mark,
what is this song?
Charlie. Well, I was trying to act
it's like very romantic.
I don't know what this is.
This is Colton Wong's walk-up.
Oh, okay. I should know that.
Gardner, the Midday Maestro over there, is paying close
attention.
Little
Bruno Mars.
I do like Bruno Mars.
Well, now I apologize. Colton Wong is with us here, and we welcome him to the program. Obviously, we have not been paying close attention, have we, during that walk-up?
No, I think that's just my little take on Hawaii. Bruno Mars from Hawaii, and, you know, I like to have Hawaii, you know, represented, you know, in any way I can. So just showing a little love.
Yeah, I feel like everybody from Hawaii knows each other. So have you ever had the chance to meet Bruno Mars?
No, but he'll be doing some concerts in Hawaii during this off season. So I already got that hooked up to go and meet him and kind of start planting some seeds, and hopefully I can go to some of his concerts or something.
So, Colton, how many current baseball players in the majors from Hawaii at this point?
I think, honestly, two. Just me and I think Kurt Suzuki right now.
Gotcha.
Well, and Greg Garcia Greg Garcia doesn't count.
I know
went
that.
To school
no.
There.
Greg's a fake Hawaii. He's fake Hawaii.
Course, and you had the flying Hawaiian.
Shane Victorino, absolutely.
But he's out of the game now.
So who?
Yeah, I think Shane's out right now.
Here's my theory on the University of Hawaii. They should have the best football team, the best baseball team, the best basketball team, because they're recruiting. And all they have to say is, you're coming to Hawaii, okay? I think they should load up every year on all the D1 talent.
Honestly, I feel the same way. Like, when I was offered a scholarship there, I was, I'm good. You know, I want to go there. But you'd be surprised how hard it is to get down to come to Hawaii. People kind of get island sick. You know, they can't handle not being, you know, on the main stage. So, but it's cool, man. I definitely enjoyed it. And I think if you ask Greg, he'll tell you the same thing.
So when you grew up, I mean, is it the stereotype? You're at the beach, you're learning to surf when you're like 5, 6 years old?
For most people, not for me. You know, I kind of had that love for the game right away. You know, instead of going to the beach when all those guys were going, I was going to the field to, you know, hit or take some ground balls or do something.
So, Colton, I know you've lived in St. Louis in the off season here recently, but before that, once you get into pro baseball, do you have minor league teammates or major league teammates, they all want to come hang out with you and stay in Hawaii during the winter?
Oh, yeah. I mean, guys have been hitting me up now about this offseason. I think Matt Adams might be coming with me to Hawaii this offseason to hang out, and a couple other guys. So I think, you know, everyone just wanted that invite. Now they got the invite. Everyone, you know, it's just a free-for-all who can come first.
I know it's only the middle of May, but give us an idea this weekend, the atmosphere there. You had some of the biggest crowds ever in the history of Busch 3. It's the Cards, it's the Cubs. We know that all that goes into that, but also just winning 2 of 3. What was it like for you this weekend?
Oh, it was amazing. You know, you want to talk about playoff atmosphere. It was it, man. It was exciting. You know, you could see. It was kind of crazy, man, seeing, you know, how much blue was actually in that stadium. I didn't think Cardinal Nation would allow that, but, you know, it was just crazy to see how much blue was there to support the Cubs. And, you know, obviously you got the Cardinals there ready to go. So it was a fun time, man. It was a good series. And, you know, glad we could take 2 out of 3 from them.
How aware are you guys as players, you know, what the experts, the pundits, you know, everybody's like, hey, the Cubs are the favorites. They're going to win the division. And the Cards, if they're lucky, they get a wild card. How aware of all of that talk were you guys, even going back to spring training?
Honestly, we don't listen to those guys. Cause a lot of times those guys don't even make sense. You know, we kind of try to avoid what people say and just do what we can do, man. You've been watching this team play, and, you know, we've been playing like this for a while now, and, you know, we don't care about what people are saying about what team's good or, you know, how our schedule's going. All we know is we're going to go out there and play 9 innings strong and as hard as we can and see how much points we can get across and, you know, if we can get a victory. If not, hey, we're going to come back tomorrow and fight just as hard.
When you guys were 3-9, were you kind of in shock? I know Mike Matheny, John Mozeliak said, hey, it doesn't look right. We got to turn it around pronto. It's well known. Since then, you guys are 18-6. But when you were sitting there after that trip to New York, that late night on a Sunday, you get swept by the Yankees. I don't know if you're down and out, but what was your take back then?
You know, just hard times. I think, you know, when you play this game, you know, enough years, you start to understand that there, you know, there are months where you're just going to absolutely stink. And, you know, usually for us, that month would come in like August or September. And, you know, the one thing we kept telling each other is like, you know, everybody's going to have these months where they're going to go through struggles. But for us, you know, let's take this as a good thing, man. We're going through our struggles this early right now. We got a lot more ball to play. We got a lot more things to do. And you know what, man? Hey, if we're going to take our hits right now, let's take it right now. You know, let's get ready and you know, go on a run right after, you know, once we get out of this funk.
Colton, we've talked about you a lot over the last couple of years. I'm guessing you're probably sick of talking about yourself sometimes. But this year, what do you think has changed for you where it seems like you're more comfortable just able to go out there and kind of do your thing?
Honestly, man, I've been, you know, ever since I got to the big leagues, I've been going through this process of, you know, trying to make my swing consistent, trying to be a consistent player. And, you know, talking to all the coaches and you know, all the players, like, you know, I got a chance to talk to someone like a Yadier Molina and Adam Wainwright and ask them, you know, how do I become more consistent as a player? And, you know, the one answer everybody gives me is, man, this is a process. You know, you're playing against the best of the best in all of baseball right now. And, you know, obviously they're going to have guys who are going to succeed and guys who, you know, they have to take a little time to understand themselves as a player and understand the process of, you know, learning how to be consistent. And I think for me, you know, I didn't want to understand that. I felt like I'm too good to be going through this stuff. And, you know, as soon as I told myself this offseason that, hey, you know, whatever happens this year, I'm going to go out there and just play the game and compete and, you know, try and see how many good ABs I can have each game, regardless if I get hit or not. If I can get to a 3-2 count or if I can hit a ball hard, you know, that's going to be pluses for me. Instead of just looking at hits and, you know, all of that, I'm going to go out there and just try and have good ABs for my teammates and do what I can to help this team win. And, you know, when I started thinking that way, I think it just kind of clarified that, you know, if I just go out there and be a good teammate and do what I can, you know, everything will take care of itself. And, you know, I think you're just seeing a byproduct of, you know, the hard work I've been putting in all these years and, you know, just the mindset of knowing that if I just have good ABs, you know, eventually good things will happen.
And is it natural when you sign a contract, you feel a little pressure? I mean, I think Mozeliak has told us, hey, we're hoping the opposite, alleviate pressure. But when you get the deal, is there a little bit that just you can't ignore it?
A little bit. You know, because obviously, you know, to get a deal, you know, pre-arbitration is a big thing. And, you know, I'm the kind of guy that I like to prove when I get things handed to me. My parents were always like that. You know, you have to earn what you get. And, you know, when this contract was given to me, the one thing I came in, I think as soon as I got that contract, I went to work out. You know, I went to do different things because I wanted to show everybody that, hey, I'm not going to take this for granted. You know, this is a blessing that I was given, and I'm going to make sure that I put in all the work and I do whatever I can for this team to try and get us another World Series championship. And, you know, instead of understanding that if I just play my game and do my part, you know, eventually everything will kind of take care of itself. And I think that's what I'm starting to understand this year. And knowing that if I just take care of my part, you know, we got 8 other guys on the field that are going to take care of their parts. And, you know, with how good our team is, that's going to be a good team. So,
Colton, earlier in the show, we were talking about the slide rule at second base and the Cubs and Joe Maddon not happy about that call over the weekend. They also brought up the fact a couple games ago when Chris Coughlin is jumping over Yadier Molina at the plate. But in general, the slide rule at second base, it was, you know, made to protect especially second basemen who can't see the runners coming, you know, like yourself, but it also seems like players don't really know the rules. Is that fair to say that you kind of don't know what to do, maybe sliding some of these times with the new rules?
Yeah, I think that's, you know, the new rule, obviously, there's a lot of gray wash around that rule, but I think, you know, the biggest thing that any infielder can do in our situation is to understand, you know, what that rule entails. You know, I mean, because both as a, you know, when you're sliding and when you turn into a play, you got to understand, you know, how to make this guy look like he slid too far. But, you know, the one thing that was kind of crazy about that rule is I was told that, you know, anytime you're in that situation, you have to make a throw for it to be counted as interference. But, you know, how that half kid slid, you could, you know, it was obvious to see that he slid way past the bag. But, you know, I was in the clubhouse kind of like wondering, like, man, are they going to actually call this right now? Because in the rules, it states that you have to attempt a throw, you know, to get that call made. So it's just a weird, weird thing, man. Like, I've literally been on the MLB Players Association and and just MLB in general about this rule, because, I mean, I've never had a problem with guys sliding into me. You know, I had one of the best infield coach, Jose Kendall, who basically taught me how to get out of the way of these guys. He ingrained it in my mind of, you know, understanding player, you know, how fast this player is running, you know, how much time I have to get rid of the ball, how do I get out of the way? And I think, you know, this rule is put in place for people who didn't take that initiative going out and working on these drills and working on understanding that players are going to come and try to take you out to break up a double play. It's your job to understand if you can turn a double play or you can't. So I think, you know, I understand where Joe and those guys are coming from, but then again, Major League made this play. You know, they made this, you know, out to be a rule, and I think people just need to understand what the rule entails.
And, Colton, I think a lot of people saw you presenting the pink bat to the breast cancer survivor yesterday on Mother's Day. Yeah. What does Mother's Day mean to you now, dealing with the passing, of course, of your mom a few years back? And I know, you know, obviously the cancer cause is special to your heart.
Absolutely, man. I mean, you know, Mother's Day is definitely a special day for me, knowing that, you know, I had a mom that was someone who, you know, basically helped me get to where I was today. You know, I had the tough dad who wanted to push me and drive me to, you know, hopefully achieve my goal, but I had the mom that was always telling me everything was okay. And to lose someone like a backbone like your mom, it's tough, man. And, you know, I think for me, knowing what cancer did to my mom and you know, how it affected my family, you know, I understand what these families are going through. I understand the struggles. And seeing your loved ones kind of just, you know, take a turn for the worse, it's a tough thing. You just feel like there's nothing you can do. And, you know, for me, I know that, you know, it's the worst feeling in the world, and I know what these families feel like, and I want to be someone who can, you know, hopefully help in any way I can to make it a little easier. I understand that, you know, regardless of what I do, it's not going to make it any better. But if I can do anything just to, I guess, ease the pain somehow or make something a little easier for them, you know, that's always been, like, my thing, my initiative is to try and just help families as much as I can.
Let's talk about your event tonight. Team it up with your former teammate, Jason Mott, the cornhole event down at the Beer Garden at Anheuser-Busch. Remind everybody what's taking place.
Yeah, I mean, we got the cornhole event going down tonight. Doors open at 5. You know, I think there's still available tickets to come down and just watch us play. But, you know, as for playing cornhole, I think they're all sold out already. But, man, it's a great event. You know, we're going to be down at the Beer Garden. Great, great atmosphere. A bunch of guys are coming down to play. And we're just going to have a good time. We're going to try to see how much money we can raise for this foundation and to just see what we can do, man. This is just a good time to come hang out with players, hang out with people, and, you know, just hang out for a good cause.
And nobody will recognize Motter because of the beard being gone. I don't know that I would recognize him.
Yeah, I saw him in Atlanta when he was there, and I was like, wow, I don't think I've ever seen you with your beard this short. And it was kind of funny, man, just seeing how, you know, he had to do that and stuff, but you know, he's a good dude, man, and, you know, we're all excited to help him any chance we get, and especially for this cause. I think, you know, K for Cancer has done such a big thing for people, and I think it just represents, you know, baseball and what we're trying to do, you know, with this platform we have.
And again, that event tonight at the Beer Garden at Anheuser-Busch, what's your cornhole skill level at this point?
Yeah, absolutely.
How good are you? How good will you be tonight if people come to
how
see you?
I'm all right. I'm all right. You know, growing up in Hawaii, cornhole isn't the first thing you learn how to play, but, you know, being in the Midwest for a little while, I got a chance to play and get a feel for it. Last practice, me and Matt Adams were out there throwing a little bit, so you know, hopefully I can just hold my own a little bit tonight.
All right, Colton, thanks for the time. Good luck with the event tonight. Oh, I did want to ask, you spent that St. Louis offseason. What was the highlight for you? Anything you've learned or like you've been, like years ago, So Taguchi started to live in St. Louis. He's from Japan, and he said he was hooked on Ted Drews. He'd go there all the time. Anything that you've now become accustomed to that you do on a regular basis?
I mean, I love Asian food. And, you know, Miley's is my spot this offseason, especially during the cold. I'd go there and get the whole Thai and, you know, just enjoy, you know, my little taste of Hawaii when I had a chance. And, you know, if you haven't been to Miley's restaurant, I'd highly recommend it. You know, great food. Queen's a great guy, and, you know, it's just a good place.
Very good. Hey, thanks for your time.
No, thanks for having me on, guys.
All right. Colton Wong, the Cardinals second baseman, and got the event tonight. It always sounds weird. Hey, you're going cornholing, but it's a charity fundraising event.
Just call it beanbags.
Beanbags, yeah.
Growing up, we called it beanbags.
And I think when we were at patios the other day, we were playing bags. We're going to throw the bags. But I guess you can call it. I guess that was a weird question.
No, it's not a weird question.
It sounded weird.
Because we're all so juvenile,
yes.
Just in general,
yes.
When you call something cornhole,
yes.
It's just so obvious to make a lot of cornholio-type jokes from Beavis and Butthead, and we know what people call the cornhole. Just call it beanbags.
Beanbags. That's tonight, Anheuser-Busch.
You remember cornholio, right? See, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, from
Beavis and Butthead. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm cornholio.
Beanbags is that much better, though.
Yeah.
Oh, it's fine.
It's at the beer garden tonight, and it sounded like some of his teammates will be hanging out down there. I think Cam Jansen will be competing also.
I'll be down there.
From the Hardline, Charlie Marlowe will be down there.
Not competing. I'll be doing, this is
journalism.
Hardcore journalism. If you want to really get to the bottom of the story, you go to the beanbag tournament. It's going to be real kind of top-notch journo stuff.
The Cards off today, obviously. Back at it tomorrow and Wednesday with the Red Sox off on Thursday. And then over the weekend, they've got the Giants coming to town. The Cards 18-6 in their last 24.
May I say, when you hear Colton Wong talk like that, how can you not root for that guy? You know what I'm saying? And I understand, we talked about it a little bit, that over the last couple years, we talk a lot about Colton Wong and he got sent down to the minors a couple times. First-round pick. A lot of pressure, expectations, got the contract. But he really is a very likable, good dude. So people like that, I don't care if I'm not supposed to, I will always root for that guy.
Oh, 100%. You always root for the players that you like. The media is the most bitter, grudge-holding group. If somebody blows,
speak for yourself.
If somebody blows you off a couple of times as a reporter, you're like, go out and give up a couple of bombs, see what I care. You can't help it. Colton Wong, he's a good dude, and we wish him the best.
And Colton Wong has been up since, 2013? I don't think I've ever, in that 3 or 4 years, ever seen him decline an interview. You know what I'm saying? He's always very open to the media, and not every player's like that.
And I understand people at home, and I get it, saying, I don't care if he does interviews. I want him to hit home runs. I want him to play second base. I want him to steal bases. I don't care about any of that other stuff. But he has been nothing but polite to a lot of folks since he has arrived.
See, I disagree, though, because I don't look at players talking to the media like they're talking to us. They're talking to the fans through the TV, through the radio, through print. And that's why I'm not going to hate on Joe Maddon. Yes, he says some things I disagree with, but he's always good for content. He's always filling up your shows with good quotes, and I love that.
Oh, no, he's very interesting. There's no doubt his sound bites are very interesting. It does seem in the last year or two that he's gotten a little more into his own voice, a little more interested. He's a little more full of
Maddon. He's interesting.
Of course he is.
He lives in a van down by the river. He's drinking beers on the beach. They just won the World Series. He's kind of Tony-esque, let's be real. In a different way, the whole Friends of Tony, Joe Maddon's the same way. Walking around with Eddie Vedder, there's always Bill Murray walking around. It's kind of the same feel.
But that's more of a, I would say that's a Cubs thing, whereas it was a Tony thing. To be fair, I'm giving La Russa a little more credit here. The FOTs were people that he sort of got to know through ARF, and it'd be like the backup singer from Poco is in town because they knew Tony, whereas Eddie Vedder, Bill Murray, I'm sure he's friends with them. Those are Cub fans that would be showing up no matter who the manager is.
But I don't think a Joe Girardi would embrace all of the craziness around the stadium as much as Joe Maddon does.
So wouldn't it be great if Matheny tomorrow, during his pregame, the Red Sox are in town. He's like, guys, I know we're going to talk some ball here, but actually, Def Leppard, a couple of guys are here from the band tonight. Wouldn't that just be great? Because it would be so un-Matheny.
But if you go down to the stadium over the years, you'll see Luke Bryan's down there before a concert taking BP and throwing in the outfield. You've seen Ricky Fowler. He's a big Cardinals fan. So I think it's more fun, though. It was more fun with Tony because it was always a random bassist from a band that was popular in 1984. And you could kind of joke about it.
Or 78.
Yes.
But I do think Matheny has been listening to this show. I'm just going to put it out there. Because something that we have fallen in love with is the fact that he'll take the Cal May question and just kind of repeat it back. He has started to learn the Ryan Pickett-isms, the former Ram, where you just go up on a given Wednesday, hey, Ryan, kind of tough for you guys to be 2-8 and after everything that was expected. Oh, man, it's tough to be 2-8 after everything that was expected. He would just spit it right back out. And we know Cal May likes to lead things off. And
would you say?
Gardner pointed it out. That now Mike Matheny sometimes will repeat what Cal says, which we love, and he did it again on Saturday.
Mike, would you say a really nice job from Carlos today, both on the hill and at the plate?
Really nice job by Carlos.
Here's where I think, for fun, after a big win, Calvin needs to throw a curveball to Matheny.
We got
a
snort.
If he doesn't say, would you say? Because if Cal doesn't start his question with, would you say, I bet you the skipper is totally thrown for a loop.
If he doesn't
say every it. Cal question starts with, would you say? Have you noticed?
Would you say?
Tough loss today, yeah.
Would you say you guys just really blanked the bed? Yeah, we blanked the bed.
It would be funny. I don't know if I would say it quite that way, but.
And also, Cal May on Sunday, things are just trending up for the Cardinals, okay?
Enjoy it. Embrace it.
Sure. They've got Bill Murray and Eddie Vedder over there. Butch Patrick. Eddie Munster was hanging at the stadium yesterday, and Gardner actually got a photo. And somebody wrote in and said, what happened to his hair? And I'm like, no, that's not Butch Patrick. Butch Patrick, the other guy is Calvin. And there was a third guy in the picture. I don't know who
that
was.
I don't know who that was. He came in with the group. I was outside smoking before the game. And
I already knew that. You didn't have to say that. I knew that.
And I see Cal May.
Implied.
Cal May walks up, and I look over, and I go, oh, who's this guy in the Munster shirt? I go, oh, my goodness.
It's Eddie Munster.
Yeah, and actually, Calvin actually asked me at a later point up in the press box. Butch Patrick had gotten his seats, was with his friend or whatnot down in the seats. And Cal May and Bob Nightingale of USA Today are walking, and I'm chatting with them for a second. And they're going to go see Butch Patrick. Like, Cal was taking Bob Nightingale to go meet him. And Cal was like, hey, you want to go, Gardner? And I'm like, I'll let you guys handle this one. But
like
he was nice enough to ask me.
USA Today exclusive at that point.
Yeah, so it was an interesting day at the ballpark yesterday, because then in the postgame, too, you had Fred Bird and Mrs. Fred Bird on Mother's Day in the postgame news conference.
A lot of people didn't know that Mrs. Fred Bird existed.
There
right?
was, like, I saw Benjamin Hockman of the Post-Dispatch take a photo of it. And it's got the commish, and there he's sitting right next to him. And he has this expression on his face that just says to me, I'm a bleeping baseball Hall of Famer. And this is what's happening right next to me.
They
right
did
now.
Roll them out during the post game, and it didn't. And I think they must have told Matheny they were going to do it, but yeah. He didn't seem all that amused by the idea that Mrs. Fredbird was hanging at his presser. And Schaefer, are you going to ask the question?
I'm just going to point out I wasn't there yesterday, so I'm watching this at home, and I'm looking down, typing, doing whatever, and I hear like applause at the start of this, and I'm like, what in the hell is going on? Like my eyes dart up. I'm like, Derek, what are you? But no, that was something.
Did anybody know that there was a Mrs. Fredbird?
I did not.
She makes an appearance, I guess.
She
this
did
time
hit
of
her
year.
Son with her purse while we were in there too.
And rest in peace. We all love him, loved him. But if Joe Strauss was around to cover that post game, I would have loved to see how he talked about that on the radio or wrote about it the next day after the big Cubs card series and them rolling out Fredbird and what's her name, Mrs. Fredbird?
Mrs. Fredbird, I assume, yeah. I don't know her married name or she had him out of wedlock.
That's sexist. That's sexist.
You know what? I thought of that whole sexist theme this weekend because it was Mother's Day. And when you see a female, somebody that's your age or older, you seem like, oh, hey, happy Mother's Day.
No, you can't do that.
Security guard at Fox 2 yesterday came by. I was, hey, everybody. And I said, oh, happy Mother's Day. And then I thought, I don't know. She's a mother.
Yeah, you can't assume
no?
that.
And then I said, hey, they're giving away a ring on. Oh, no. You. Hey, have a great Sunday. Didn't know what I could say. Strauss would have called it balloon party for sure. And the best part of Joe Strauss, when he really hated the topic or the theme, the angry click on his recorder. Because Joe would hold out his recorder, and then if you had something stupid, he would just kind of pull it back, jerk it back, and click off. Like, my recorder's not even going to sit in for this stupid question you just asked. It's more of a visual, because he would just go, because he knew that the TV foofs had said something stupid, and he wasn't going to take part.
But that was a good photo op for the pictures and for the TV. I didn't get to watch a lot of the coverage yesterday. I was too busy celebrating Mother's Day.
Sure.
Because
you're a mom.
No, but I got a nice card for Jess because she's a dog mom.
Okay.
I got four cards yesterday. I got one for my grandma and for my mom, and we bought
Jess's
one
mom.
For Jess's mother.
Your mother-in-law.
And then for Jess, because she's a dog mom.
There you go.
To Otis.
The Mother's Day tweet of the day, of course, went to TJ Oshie, who had a picture of his wife and two kids. And he said, "Happy Mother's Day, this smoking hot mama. If it weren't for her, oh, this smoking hot lady, if it weren't for her, nothing would get done around here," which I thought was pretty priceless.
Now, is that sexist, too?
Probably.
A lot of people talking about that picture. They have sent it in on the text line. TJ Oshie, lucky man. He has a very beautiful wife and beautiful family.
All the best. All right, when we come back, Chuck, I didn't know where you're going. I thought you were going to read a...
No, people are basically just commenting on the fact that she's very, very attractive. That's all I'm saying.
And was that picture taken in St. Louis? You think he's in D.C.?
I think they live in Minnesota.
Minnesota or North Dakota, or he's from Washington.
State of hockey.
It's always very confusing, though, because he was from Washington State, but then he was from Minnesota.
Yeah.
But he played in North Dakota.
Remember, he could have played basketball.
And he played in St. Louis. And he's on
Where's
Washington.
He going to sign?
Where's he going to sign? And just for a joke, we had Strickland on the show last night. That was the
joke. You're saying
no.
You're saying Strick's
a
joke.
No, we had Strix on the Sports Final program last night, and then just for fun, I tweeted out, "Hey, would they sign Oshie? We'll ask Scoops Strickland." That was the joke. Just people online like, no, we have better money.
We don't need a winger.
We have better money to spend. We have money to spend. That's going to cost too much. I was like, I just kind of. Throwing it out.
You can't do anything anymore because you get all these weird people that don't even follow you, yet they go out of their way because somebody else retweets it to come after you on Twitter. I always think that's interesting. I understand if you follow a person, but then to just kind of go after somebody you don't even follow for their comments, I think is kind of odd. Am I wrong on that?
I actually saw your tweet about Strick and almost put, if he did know, he probably wouldn't tell you anyway.
Right.
But I decided
go to the
against
commercial
it. But
break.
Now I'm sharing it with you here. Yeah.
Strix in the break. Like, well, here's what's really going on. Come on. Say it on the air. All right. Here's your assignment. You, the listener, buy or sell. And the premise is the Cardinals in first place right now. Can they maintain? Can they win this division? Can they hold off the Cubs? Is there enough that's taken place that you're a believer, you're a buyer, or you're saying, well, I don't think so, and here's why. And it could be you're looking at the Cubs and you say, Rizzo's going to start hitting. Arrieta's not going to be that bad. Make the case one way or the other if you think the Cardinals can maintain. Can they win this division, buy or sell? Cliche Sports Radio at its finest. Coming up at the top of the hour, 855-282-8255.
But first, Martin, let's tell you about one of my favorite spots, Old Kinderhook. Looking for a getaway weekend with the family? Look no farther than Old Kinderhook, located at the Lake of the Ozarks. Old Kinderhook. And I love this name as well.
It does. It feels
Old
like a teacher.
Old Kinderhook.
Like a teacher in high school.
Or he's the guy at the golf club. He's kind of the old man, like the dean of the club. We call him Old Kinderhook.
He walks around. He picks up loose golf balls and saves them.
Yes.
Hey, there's Old Kinderhook. He's on the 15th fairway.
But what
Looks
Old
like
Kinderhook
he's hammered.
Actually is, it's a family-friendly resort boasting amenities for the whole family, including indoor and outdoor pools, water activities, a spa, and their award-winning golf course and restaurant. Check out Old Kinderhook's Fun Fest this summer, which include a professional fireworks show, a cookout, tons of games, live entertainment, bouncy houses, clowns. This is like a Joe Madden pregame Cubs game they got going on here. And the best part, most activities are free. The Fun Fests are on May 26th, June 30th, and September 1st. Book your stay now at oldkinderhook.com.
By the way, you know why the Cubs lost 2 out of 3 this weekend?
Because
fatigue.
Eddie Butler
no,
could not throw every game.
They had Eddie Butler. We had Eddie Munster. Case closed.
Where's the bell?
It's the Midday Grind on 590 The Fan. Top of the hour break right now.
Funny how it seems like yesterday. As I recall, you were looking out of place. Gathered up your things and slipped away. No time.